Unit 4. Reading. Tourist graffiti. A new problem?
A Chinese tourist on holiday in Egypt was shocked to see graffiti in Chinese on a 3,500-year-old monument in Luxor. A photo of the graffiti was soon on his blog on the internet. People in China couldn't believe it. They were angry, and there was a big hunt to find the person responsible. They could find him easily because the message wasn't very imaginative or clever. It was basically, Ding Jinhao was here. That was enough for internet users to find this particular Ding Jinhao, a teenager in Nanjing. His parents were quick to tell a local newspaper that their son was very sorry for his actions. Ding's graffiti was a terrible idea. It is a serious crime to write on a historic monument in Egypt. You can go to prison for a year for doing it. But in the past, people could write on monuments and no one was angry about it. At Giza, there is an example of graffiti on a temple wall from 1244 BC. It says, Hadnakti came to make an excursion and amuse himself on the west of the Memphis together with his brother Panakti. In Roman times, it was normal to write messages on ancient monuments to become part of the monument forever. One of the first Egyptologists, the Italian Giovanni Belzoni, was the first modern man to enter the pyramid of Khafre. Inside the pyramid today, you can read his text celebrating the discovery with his name and the date. Later, in the second half of the 19th century, Europeans could travel around the world thanks to the first package holidays. In those days, tourists could climb to the top of the Great Pyramid. Soon, there was graffiti in just about every language up there. Luckily, it wasn't difficult to make Ding Jinhao's graffiti disappear. But China's National Tourism Administration is right to advise all tourists to act in a civilized way.
Unit 4. Gateway to Life Skills. How to Start a Business. A case analysis from the world of guidebooks.
Lonely Planet is a company which produces modern, dynamic guidebooks. It also produces TV programs, a magazine, and lots of useful digital material on the web. In 2010, there were 500 Lonely Planet books in 8 languages, with annual sales of more than 5 million guidebooks. The start of this global company was unusual. Maureen and Tony Wheeler were the two creators of Lonely Planet. Their first meeting was in Regent's Park in London in 1970. Maureen was just 20. A year later, they were married. Their idea of the perfect honeymoon was to travel across Europe and Asia all the way to Australia. The only problem was not having any money. But Maureen and Tony's 9-month trip was a success. When they arrived in Australia, their friends asked how it was possible to make such a long trip with no money. Their answers were the basis of their first guidebook, Across Asia on the Cheap. The first version of the book, with its simple yellow cover, was the product of long nights writing at their kitchen table. But after just 1 week, they were able to sell 1,500 books. It was the only guidebook in the world written by adventurous young travellers for adventurous young travellers. And it was the first guidebook written for people travelling on the cheap, without spending much money. Lonely Planet was born thanks to Maureen and Tony's enterprise. 2 years later, there was another book by the Wheelers, and then another and another. Maureen and Tony eventually sold Lonely Planet for over £500,000. Today, there are over 200 Lonely Planet authors, and there are Lonely Planet offices in Oakland and Franklin in the US, Gurgaon in India, London, Melbourne and Beijing. The company continues to produce great guidebooks and the Wheelers have more time to do what they enjoy, travel.
Unit 4. Vocabulary. Exercise 1B.
Argentina. Brazil. China. Czech Republic. Egypt. France. The UK. Greece. Ireland. Italy. Japan. Mexico. Peru. Poland. Russia. Scotland. Slovakia. Spain. Switzerland. Turkey. Ukraine. The US.
Unit 4. Vocabulary. Exercise 3B.
Argentina. Argentinian. Brazil. Brazilian. China. Chinese. Czech Republic. Czech. Egypt. Egyptian. France. French. The UK. British. Greece. Greek. Ireland. Irish. Italy. Italian. Japan. Japanese. Mexico. Mexican. Peru. Peruvian. Poland. Polish. Russia. Russian. Scotland. Scottish. Slovakia. Slovak. Spain. Spanish. Switzerland. Swiss. Turkey. Turkish. Ukraine. Ukrainian. The US. American.
Unit 4. Vocabulary. Exercise 5. 1.
Oh no, where is it?
Isn't it in your pocket?
No.
It must be there. You had it on the plane.
Well, it isn't there now. What am I going to do? If I can't find it, they aren't going to let me into the country.
Have you got any other documents with your photo?
No. Wait, I can see it. It's in the bag. Whew. I've got it.
2.
So, where are you going for your holidays?
Turkey. We're going to Istanbul, Cappadocia, Ankara.
Do you have to find hotels and things?
No, it's really easy. Everything's included in the price. The plane tickets, the hotel, and we get breakfast and dinner. The only thing that isn't included is lunch. Everything else is covered.
3.
What does it say about this place?
Let's see. It says the museum building is an example of the neoclassical style. It's 400 years old. There are paintings from all over the world.
Does the book say if there are any restaurants or cafes near here? I really need something to eat.
Yeah. It says that there's a really good restaurant just down the street. It says it isn't very expensive.
This book is really useful, isn't it?
Unit 4. Gateway to Life Skills. Exercise 5A.
When you go on holiday and you go to the beach, what do you take? Probably a towel, some sandals or flip-flops, maybe sunglasses, maybe a baseball cap, and some money to buy an ice cream or a soft drink or something. The problem is, where do you put your money when you go for a swim?
The answer is in the cash cap. There's a secret pocket at the front of the cap where you can put money or a key. Nobody knows it's there because all they see is a normal cap. You can leave your cap, go in the water, and no one touches your cap or your money.
This is a questionnaire that we gave to people in our class to see if they would be interested in our product. 20 people in our class say that bringing money to the beach or swimming pool is a bit of a problem. 15 of those people usually wear a cap. 12 people, that's half the class, say that the cash cap is a great idea, but you just can't buy a similar product in the market at the moment.
We think that the cash cap isn't very expensive to make. Therefore, it is a good product for teenagers to buy. You can have many different designs, and not just one cash cap, but two or three as well.
We hope you agree that you don't just want a cash cap, you need a cash cap.
Unit 4. Listening. Exercises 2 and 3.
Hey, Sam. Do you know Edinburgh? I've just got an email from a friend of mine who lives there. She wants me to go and visit her in the summer. Do you know what it's like?
Yeah, I went there last year. I loved it. It's brilliant. You must go.
Was there much to do there?
Well, because it's the capital, people think it's a really big city. It's actually not that big, but there are hundreds of things to do there. We went in August and the International Festival and the Fringe Festival were on. Edinburgh's really famous for its festivals.
Oh, really? What kind of festivals?
They're arts and culture festivals. We saw concerts, comedy shows, plays. There were a lot of events in the streets too. August is a great time to go.
What about sightseeing? Is there anything interesting to see?
Yes. We visited the castle. It was really cool. It's on the top of this great rock. When we climbed to the top, we had a spectacular view of the city. Oh, yeah. And then at 1 o'clock, they do this thing where they fire a cannon.
A cannon? Why do they do that?
It's an old tradition. Originally, it was for ships to know the time, but now I think they probably just do it for the tourists.
My friend says the food's good there too.
Yeah, we ate really well. We had shortbread every day. Do you know what shortbread is? It's a type of biscuit they make really well in Scotland. I remember we bought shortbread and souvenirs on the Royal Mile. It's a really famous road that goes down from the castle back into the city. We walked all along the Royal Mile. It took ages because my mum wanted to look in every different shop and my dad stopped and took hundreds of photos.
People speak English there, right?
Yeah. I mean, some people speak Scots and some speak Scottish Gaelic, but people always spoke to us in English. Sometimes it was with a strong Scottish accent, but I always understood them. No excuses, Sarah. Just go and visit your friend and ask if I can come too.
Unit 4. Pronunciation. Exercise 2A.
Listened. Liked. Hated.
Unit 4. Pronunciation. Exercise 2B.
Decided. Loved. Needed. Played. Started. Stayed. Wanted. Washed. Watched. Worked.
Unit 4. Pronunciation. Exercise 2C.
Duh. Listened. Loved. Played. Stayed. T. Liked. Washed. Watched. Worked. Id. Hated. Decided. Needed. Started. Wanted.
Unit 4. Developing speaking. Exercise 3A.
Last year I had a brilliant holiday. I went to Barcelona with my family, my mum, my dad and my brother. We went by plane. It took about 2 hours to get there from London. We stayed at a fantastic hotel called the Hotel Portofera. It was near the city centre. We did some sightseeing. We saw the Sagrada Familia. It's incredible. They started building it over 100 years ago, but it's not finished yet. We climbed to the top and had a spectacular view of the city. We also walked along Las Ramblas. There were lots of restaurants there. In general, the food was really good. We had paella twice. It was delicious. There are shops in the Ramblas, so when we were there, we bought souvenirs too. I bought a T-shirt that says, "I love Barcelona," for a friend of mine. Oh, and one evening we went to the Camp Nou, the football stadium where Barcelona play. That was really cool. Oh, I had a great time in Barcelona. I loved everything about it. I want to go back one day.